said, press the plunger. Yeah? You meant I shouldn't have. The keg was sizzling. You pressed it, said Cohen. Well, yes, you said. Can we stop it?
No, said Rincewind.
Can we outrun it?
Only if you can think of a way to run 10 miles really, really fast, said Rincewind.
Gather round, lads. Not you, minstrel boy. This is sword stuff.
Cohen beckoned the other heroes, and they went into a hurried huddle. It didn't seem to take long.
Right, said Cohen as they straightened up. You've got all our names down, right, Mr. Bard?
Of course.
Then let's go, lads.
They heaved the keg back onto Hamish's wheelchair. Truckle half turned as they started to push it.
Here, Bard! You sure you made a note of that bit where I...
We are leaving, shouted Cohen, grabbing him.
See you later, Mrs. McGarry.
She nodded and stood back.
You know how it is, she said sadly. Great-grandchildren on the way and everything.
The wheelchair was already moving fast.
Get them to name one after me, yelled Cohen as he leapt aboard.
What are they doing? Said Rincewind as the chair rolled down the street towards the far gates.
They'll never get it down from the mountain quickly enough, said Carrot, starting to run.
The chair passed through the arch at the end of the street and rattled over the icy rocks. As they hurried after it, Rincewind saw it bounce out and into 10 miles of empty air. He thought he heard the last words as the downward plunge began.
Aren't we supposed to shout something?
Then chair and figures and barrel became smaller and smaller and merged into the hazy landscape of snow and sharp, hungry rocks. Carrot and Rincewind watched. After a while, the wizard noticed Leonard out of the corner of his eye. The man had his fingers on his own pulse and was counting under his breath.
10 miles, Allow for air resistance, call it 3 minutes plus. Yes, yes, indeed. We should be averting our gaze around... Yes, now. Yes, I think it would be a good idea.
Even through closed lids, the world went red. When Rincewind crawled to the edge, he saw a small distant circle of evil black and crimson. Several seconds later, thunder boomed up the flanks of Corrie Celesti, causing avalanches, and that, too, died away.
"Do you think they survived?"
said Carrot, peering down into the fog of dislodged snow.
"Huh?"
said Rincewind.
"It wouldn't be the proper story if they didn't survive."
"Captain, they fell about 10 miles into an explosion which has just reduced a mountain into a valley," said Rincewind.
"They could have landed in really deep snow or on some ledge," said Carrot.
"Or there may have been a passing flock of really large soft birds," said Rincewind.
Carrot bit his lip.
"On the other hand, giving up their lives to save everyone in the world, that's a good ending too. But it was them who were going to blow it up. Still very brave of them, though."
"In a way, I suppose."
Carrot shook his head sadly.
"Perhaps we should get down and check. It's a great bubbling crater of boiling rock," Rincewind burst out. "It'd take a miracle. There's always hope.
So, there's always taxis too. It doesn't make any difference."
Carrot sighed and straightened up.
"I wish you weren't right."
"You wish I wasn't right?
Come on, let's get back. We're not exactly out of trouble ourselves, are we?"
Behind them, Vina blew her nose and then tucked her handkerchief back into her armoured corset. It was time, she thought, to follow the smell of horses. The remains of the kite were the subject of keen but uncomprehending interest among the Deitic classes. They weren't certain what it was, but they definitely disapproved of it.
"I feel," said Blind Io, "that if we had wanted people to fly, we would have given them wings."
"We allow broomsticks and magic carpets," said Offler.
"Ah, but they're magical. Magic religion, there is a certain association. This is an attempt to subvert the natural order. Just anyone could float around the place in one of these things."
He shuddered.
"Men could look down upon their gods."
He looked down upon Leonard of Quirm.
"Why did you do it?"
"You gave me wings when you showed me birds," said Leonard of Quirm. "I just made what I saw."
The rest of the gods said nothing. Like many professionally religious people, they were pretty professional being gods, they tended towards unease in the presence of the unashamedly spiritual.
"None of us recognise you as a worshipper," said Io. "Are you an atheist?"
"I think I can say that I definitely believe in the gods," said Leonard, looking around.
This seemed to satisfy everyone except Fate.
"And that is all," he said.
Leonard thought for a while.
I think I believe in the